Good evening, Rabbi Mamsky. We read last week Parshas Bereishis. We started a new beginning, and we see God creating the world in what we call and what the Torah refers to as 6 days. Of course, obviously, that is not true. By the way, the original chapter breaks that were made by the Goyim were created, I think it said, in the year 1360, by somebody, I forgot his name, but he obviously, he got the first, right away, the first chapter, he got it wrong, because before the last three, when we call Shani, he started the Perek Beis, three psukim before Vayechulu, and we could tell the difference right away by the usage of Elohim. We know until after the Yemei Bereishis are totally complete, only the word Elohim is used, and after Shani, it starts Hashem Elokim, the Midas HaRachman, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, is instituted in the Chumash, and it begins right after Shani. The Goyim put a chapter break right before Vayechulu, where it only still has Elokim. So all they had to do was ask somebody who actually was involved in creating the Torah, but they, of course, they wouldn't do that, because even the Old Testament, what they call the Old Testament, is they co-opted that as well. Just to keep that in mind, just as a side issue. But we created the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the world. And now, not long after creation, it seems that after Adam HaRishon, other than Chanoch, who v'einenu ki lo kacho so Elohim, and that we have too many people. Obviously, when it says that people began to curse the name of God, there's a machlokis, whether that the part where we stop at Shishi is that really that they curse God or they bless God. But nevertheless, by the time the creation is over and immediately Chet Adam HaRishon and then Kain Kil Hevel, and it goes downhill from there. And after the first 1,500, 1,600 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has had enough. And he decides, Ki nichamti ki asisim. He's had totally, he's distraught. I wouldn't say distraught, but it says, Ki nichamti ki asisim. We don't like to use the word of any, to attribute any feelings in terms of God. But of course, God uses those phrases himself. And so we use those words in reference to God, but he was hoping for better, obviously. And just as he had to destroy worlds beforehand for whatever reason to give us the world that we have today, and he decides that he's going to destroy the world. However, at the last minute, the last few hundred years, it's v'noach motzachem b'nei Hashem. We have somebody who creates farming tools. He's not living just for himself, even though he has lived a long time. Trouble is, when we live so many years, everything is a manana philosophy. Everything, we have time till tomorrow. We're going to live till 800 years, 700 years, even 600 years. And then we put things off because we're just concerned with ourselves. There's always another day. There's always tomorrow. But of course, when life is shortened to what we have today, we realize there are important things to do. We create what we call today our bucket list. There are things that we want to do. We have a short period of time to accomplish what we hope for is to leave our mark on this world, or to leave something of ourselves on this world, so that at least our memory continues. And we find that after the first 1,600 years, Noach is that person, v'noach matzachem b'nei Hashem. And of course, we get to Noach, and God tells Noach that ki yishchis kol basaras darko la'aretz, I've had enough already, and I'm going to destroy the world. And he tells him to build a teva. He gives him 120 years, that maybe in those 120 years, he will be able to bring people around, that there'll be some more people, that it'll be worthwhile to keep the world alive as it is. We could see it right there that God is hoping just for a few people. We always think of it as we're one person, what can we do? but there's a tremendous lesson over here that even God saves the world, just even though he only leaves Noah and his family around. But the reality is, at least at the very least, he saves the world as it is with Noah, because there's even just that one person, not his children, not his wife, just Noah alone, v'Noach Motzo Chein. Trouble is that after the flood comes and the flood is over and Noah gets out of the Teva, we're at year 1656, 1657 after creation, and Noah has these children. They're approximately 100 to 102 years old, and immediately the first thing on his mind is he's literally hungover. He's the one person who remembers the world with all the people beforehand, and now he's in a world that's totally devastated. There's nobody around left to talk to that can remember what is very difficult when you outlive everybody else and there's nobody else around that you could relate to. And it's very difficult. You have nothing in common with anybody around. It's difficult to have a conversation. And basically, you feel you're alone. And that brings about that Noah right away plants a vineyard. And it's a miracle in itself. We don't know how long it took. The grapes ripen and he gets drunk from the, he makes himself wine. It must have been an amazing process. It wasn't aged wine, obviously. And he gets drunk. And we know the story that he gets drunk. And right away, from his three children, Chum gets cursed. I mean, we're going fast forward through all of these Maiselach that we have in the Chumash. And in not long after that, even 300 years later, we have the Tower of Babel. It doesn't take that long. It's 300 years later in the year, in the late 1900s. Immediately, there are people who are again descending to the depths of depravity. But at least people are living for themselves. The lifespan has been cut short to a mere few hundred years. And we see that Nimrod, hu heichel gibor tzayid ba'aretz. There's no thought of nationhood anywhere. People are just living wherever they live. Every man is living for himself. There are no borders, no country boundaries. But Noah is amongst those people. And finally, out of all of that comes another person. We have Terach, and he gives birth through shame. He gives birth to somebody by the name of Avraham Avinu. And because of him, Yiddishkeit begins. We're running through very fast forward through all of these things. Through the first 2,000 years, we move along quickly. But the outgrowth of this, the tremendous lesson is from all of these events that take place, is we think so many times that we're one person and what could we do when we go to vote? We think, should we vote? Should we not vote? We're one person. Does my vote count? Does any vote count? Do I have the person that began Hatzalah had a vision? He's had an idea, but look how it mushroomed and look how it became a, it literally spread worldwide. I remember when it was in its infancy in the 1960s, when I heard one of my neighbors talking about it, nobody in the building understood it on the Lower East Side, and a few people had got together and there was the organization beginning, or whether all these organizations that begin, it's the thought process of one person. There's that Noah who has the ability to save the world. There is the Avraham Avinu who has the ability to change the world as it is. We never know when we grow up, do we have that capability? Do we have that ability? And we see that when God created the world, when we go back to the beginning, when God created all the things in an upward motion from the creatures of the ground, from the grass, and then he creates the animals. The animals, when they are created, are always have inborn characteristics, inborn traits. A lion, when he's born, is instilled in him from creation, is the midah of being fierce, courageous, The lion sleeps at night. The lion has no fear. He is born with courage. He is automatically, when a lion cub is born, he is going to be a lion. And he has that capability. A beaver, when he's born, he knows immediately how to build a dam. An ant is industrious. There are things, you know, he's born right away to be industrious. A man, on the other hand, when he's born, he has the ability to be courageous. He has the ability to be a coward. He has the ability to be timid or fierce. He has the ability to be industrious. He has the ability to be lazy if he chooses to be. But everything he has to do, he has to learn from day one to be that type of person. That is not instilled in him, but he has the potential to grow. And we see that some people, that when they're born, they have that spark in them to make the place that they're living in a better place. Noah lived in a time when people were just inward. They were living for themselves. They had no sense of community. Everybody was concerned with his own well-being. Noah was a singular person, but he created the farming tools. He had the idea not just to make better his life, but to make the world a better place and an easier place for mankind. Avraham Avinu wanted to strip down the idea that there was no God, there was no creator, and he tried to spread the word that there is a singular creator, that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The concept of a God for this and a God for this was, forget about it, no wooden idols, no idols of any kind. One person, look at the effect that Noah had on the world, and look at the effect that Avraham Avinu, these are singular people who, because they had a vision and they were able to run with it, and through their tenacity of focusing on what they believed in, were able to change so much. Each one of us as a human being is imbued with the capability to have an idea. And more than that, Noah did not reach this level of success. God gave him the job to build a teva when he was 480 years old, and he was 600 at the time that the flood began. Avraham Avinu, when he was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the parsha begins next week, he was 75. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was given the shlichus to go to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, was 80 years old. We have no clue of our future, but it's up to us. God gave us that potential to rise above. Every one of us has that capability of rising to the occasion. There are obviously the people who have created so many things for mankind, whether it's a drug to eradicate a disease, whether it's any kind of implement to make life easier for people. It never ends. Our life is full of opportunity. The door knocks so many times. We have a thought. Do we sit by and let it pass by? We have ideas. Do we run with it? Do we talk to other people and say, let's do this, let's create a Gemilas Chasodim, let's create a Hatzalah, let's create all these other organizations, Chasodim are organizations that do so much for people. They were all started with the idea of one person, two people, and word spreads. It's incredible how fast things happen. But it seems to be in the lap of all these organizations are through the life of God gave us, through filtered it down to Avraham Avinu, who worked so hard all his life to make the world a better place. And God instilled in the Jewish people in particular that drive and that desire never to feel of being a victim, but what we are here to be the light unto the world. And obviously, we have taken it very seriously, and we keep on building and building and building. I was told yesterday that my brother-in-law in Eretz Israel, his building was hit with a shell, and he was with a missile hit his building, and obviously he had to move out. But the fact is that their attitude is they didn't even know to say it, not to say it. But we move on. We just take it, and tomorrow is another day. We have that courage and that faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that tomorrow will be another day. We don't wring our hands and complain and say that the world is crumbling around me and I can't do anything about it, and just fold our tents and see what happens. Jews, as a rule, we take that banner and we try to make the world a better place. We continue with that ability to make the world a better place. And with all of that, we will see a tremendous, tremendous bracha that God has given us all, each one of us, that potential to make the world a better place. May we use our abilities that God has instilled in us from birth, the opportunity and the capability, the brains to accomplish so much. And we see, imagine 1/5 of 1% of the population in the world, and we've had so much influence on 8 billion people in the world that everybody's concerned. The whole world right now is focusing on this little piece of land in the Middle East. And yet we continue to survive. Little by little, more people are beginning to understand. The level of Yiddishkeit has begun to spread. I hope this is only the beginning. May it mushroom and blossom into the next few years, that we see that the fruits of the work of Avraham Avinu from the age of 75 onward, may it mushroom from 2 children, for Yitzhak having 2 children, to Yaakov having 13 children, and so on and so forth, until we grow into hundreds of millions of people in the near future. Good night. Thank you very much.
Yasher Koach, thank you, Rabbi. We're sorry to hear about your brother-in-law's home.
Yeah, that's part of life. They take it. Everybody takes it with, you know, that's it. You just accept what it is, and you move on.
Question: how was Noach supposed to influence the people if they scoffed at him, made fun of him, and really turned a deaf ear?
It's a difficult thing. He didn't have. That's why people they have the argument. If Noach was obviously not a very influential type of person, perhaps he gave up. Perhaps he wasn't as influential. That's why a lot of people say that Noach was a righteous person in his generation, as opposed to Avram, who did influence so many people. But perhaps the people in the time of Noach, on the other hand, was so much worse than the people in the time of Avraham, that Noach was greater than Avraham, because at least he was able to have the fortitude to continue to build the Teva and actually listen to God. Why didn't he scoff at the same thing? Noach actually trusted. Imagine being told to do this, and in the face of all the criticism for 120 years, to face all that ridicule and not give up the fight, to keep on building and have that faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unfortunately, the people were so evil that they laughed about it. Look at today. How many people do we listen? Do we influence people? But it's only, we see that, look how many people, you would think that people would be running from Eretz Yisrael now and running away from the land of Israel. Because when I tell people that my children, and it's not just mine, but it's thousands of people who made Aliyah in the past year, since last year, October 7th, the amount of people making Aliyah has increased by tenfold. The people who are making Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael have increased instead of drop. You would think the other way around. The people would be scattering. In the United States, when things go wrong in a city, it empties out. Detroit became a ghost town for years. Various places that are, San Francisco is emptying out. Yet in Israel, when things get so bad, people are flocking into the city, because we actually have Kol Yisrael, Arev Mizeh Lo Zeh. We really believe that it's not that we are responsible one for another, but if we make the we end up making ourselves responsible by making the place a better place. And so the people who are moving there, their idea is that if we increase the population, we could help and make the country survive. We run to the fray. We are that lion who obviously Shevet Yehuda is Gur Ariyeh Yehuda. We are like the fierce, courageous lions who run to the fire to put it out instead of fleeing the flames to get out of the way of the path of the flames. We run in there to try to put it out. That's what we do as Jews. And it is an incredible thing that we have instilled in us. And we continue to do that. And so Noach tried his best. He didn't have that. He wasn't glib. Avram obviously had the ability to be a tremendous speaker, and he had a way about him. He had that charisma. He had that certain blick that attracted people. He had that capability. But times were different, perhaps, that he had it easier. The people after the flood had a different idea. In other words, it was only a few hundred years after the flood, and people remembered and passed down the story that there is a God that has the capability to destroy the world, and maybe he's somebody worth listening to. Whereas in the time of Noah, there was no such thing. They were living 600, 700 years. What could help, you know, what am I afraid of? There was nothing that could happen, but once we've happened, that's why the people that say after the 10 tribes were taken into Golus, he yelled at Shevet Yehuda. Or the people who lived through the Korban Bayis Rishon, they did not believe that God would ever destroy his own temple. But once he did it, we know when they were warned about the destruction of the second temple, they had a greater reason to do tshuva, because they know they had experience. If God is unhappy with us, he'll destroy it. Until Noah, until God destroyed the world, nobody had the experience of it happening. Once we have that experience, we know that God will do it. You know, it's like a parent disciplining a child. Once the child knows his father is actually going to hit him and not just warn him that he's going to hit him, and he's hit him before, he understands that the father will do it again. It's until you do it the first time, you don't have the experience. And it's a rough situation, but maybe the world will begin to understand that we're here to stay, that we take a slap and we slap back. And it's just coming more to fruition. Whatever happens, obviously the attitude of the people is we're willing to take it and we're willing to keep on going. No matter what it is, we will continue regardless of the situation. We never give up. And that's what God has instilled us with. And may it continue.
My friend who called from Israel told me today that Birkat Kohanim on the holidays had 50,000 people in Yerushalayim.
It is a very moving sight when you see it. It is so moving to see the people, to see all those Kohanim, and to see them do it. And in other words, it's growing. You see, I remember years ago when it was just a few hundred people and it mushroomed, look what it is today. It's a major event that's covered by the world press. It's incredible. That's a big bracha. Imagine this is what goes on. And may it continue, may it wax and continue to grow, that next year it should be 100,000 people, wherever they'll put them. I have no idea. They'll have to increase the plaza, but whatever it is, maybe they'll be maybe by next year there'll be a bigger wall. We'll be able to, you know, the wall is so much bigger than it looks like right now.
Yeah, it is.
The covered part will be uncovered. And we'll be able to have reason to expand the, you know, the Kotel Plaza. It should be a tremendous, imagine that we should need for 1 million people, that there should be so many. It's staggering to the mind to see on the seventh night of Pesach, when everybody walks to the Mediterranean and sings Oz Yashir at the Yam. I remember when my uncle and my cousins were telling me that they walked to the sea in Jaffa and in Tel Aviv and all the places that are on the Mediterranean, and they walk to the sea and they sing, droves and droves of people singing on the night of the seventh day of Pesach, the anniversary of Kriyas Amsa, and they sing. It has grown to staggering populations of people doing that. It's incredible, but it's very moving sight to see where we've come from World War II to now. It's unbelievable. I think population wise, percentage wise, perhaps hopefully that the percentage of from Jews is growing on a percentage basis. We lose people, but the people that are remaining are the more from ones. I think that's what's coming out of all of this. And maybe that's God's plan. I would hope so. Perhaps that we become a more unified people. Okay.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Have a good evening, everyone.
Okay. Regards to the Rebbetzin.
I will.
Regards.
Thanks so much.